I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you are alive and well, God, and that you are on the throne. I ask you right now, Lord, to move, God, in a way that only you can. Lord, you know what we got going on. You know what we need. And I thank you right now, God, that you got it all, and we know you got it. In the name of Jesus, we love you, and we praise your name. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. Let me go back here to get to Joshua. There you go. Joshua. Yeshua. That literally is the Hebrew name for Jesus. Isn't that something? Very, 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 very powerful. He said, I want you to put that stuff in your mouth. I want you to eat this word. I want you to get this word down in your spirit, which means you can't be a drive-by. This can't be a drive-by thing. You got to talk it. You got to eat it. You got to drink it. The Bible said that God told them to put it around their kids' necks so they could see this. And it says that he'll make your way prosperous, which means to push forward. It means to advance. Prosperous means to advance. How many want to advance in the Lord? You want to grow in the Lord. Well, to make your way prosperous means you're going to grow in the Lord, and you're going to have good success, which means to be prudent, to be wise, to have insight. So I want to go forward, and I want to have insight. So it's very, very important. Step 11 is all about this. So let me just tell you something before we get any further. You know, a customer at Jean's Gourmet Grocery marveled at the proprietor's quick wit and intelligence. Tell me, Gene, what makes you so smart? Get ready. Fish heads, says Gene. Eat enough of them, you'll positively be brilliant. Do you sell them here? The customer asks. Yep, only $4 a piece, says Gene. The customer buys three of them. A week later, he comes back to the store complaining that the fish heads were disgusting. And he isn't any smarter. You didn't eat enough, said Gene. The customer goes home with 20 more fish heads. 2 weeks later, he's back, and this time he's really angry. Hey, Gene, he says, you're selling me fish heads for $4 a piece. I just found out I can buy the whole fish for $2. You're ripping me off. You see, says Gene, you're smarter already. All right. You got to think about that one. You got to think. Amen. So this today we're going to talk about, y'all going to like this. Some of the older guys are going to like this. You got to see the name of this one. All right? It's improving your communication skills with God. That's step 11. But the little subtitle is Talk to Me, Goose. Talk to Me, Goose. Y'all remember on Top Gun? When Maverick would be flying through the air and there was things going on around him, what would he say when he's trying to figure out what's going on around him? He would say, talk to me, Goose. Talk to me. Give me some direction. Show me where I'm supposed to go. Help me come out on top in this dogfight. So, talk to me, Goose. That's what today's step 11 is. Talk. Y'all say it. Talk to me, Goose. All right, I knew y'all would like that. Amen. So let me just go ahead. I'll go ahead and talk about the other steps along the way for those that haven't been here. And talking about stepping, look at our young man here. You're really stepping good, bro. Look at him. Bless his heart. He's so precious. Good old boy. Y'all give that boy a hand and give God a hand. He's beating all the odds and beating all the things that the doctor said wouldn't happen is happening. Good stuff. And so we're going to thank God for that. So every Christian in here is in recovery because we all battle sin. We all battle some type of fear, pride, shame, or something. The gospel is a recovery story. So step 1-3, the heart of discipleship. 4-7, cleansing and confession. Step 8-9, the courage to make things right. So here it is. Just quickly, real quickly, I'm going to go through it. I'm not going to read it all, just the top. So remember, the struggle is real that we're all going through. Number one, you got to admit that you are powerless. For I know nothing good dwells within me, that is my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. Number two. Come on. There we are. You got to believe in God's power to help you. Number three, you got to surrender to God's care. Number four, you got to do a fearless inventory. Step five, confession to God and self and others. Step six, readiness for God's change. Step seven, a humble request for God's help. Now, you're almost there. Give me a second. Eight and nine, you got to have the courage to make things right. And step 10, you continue to take a personal inventory. And when we are wrong, promptly admit it. I heard a man say when his wife was wrong, she was promptly ready to tell him how bad he messed up. Y'all didn't hear that, did you? When she was wrong, she was promptly telling him how he had messed up. All right. I'm going to just quit saying that because I'm going to get something thrown at me. All right. So now, step number 11, meditate. Keep the book of the law always in your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I mean, you're going to move forward and you're going to have insight. Everybody wants to move forward and have insight. Amen. So I'm going to try to go ahead and get through this. It may take longer than I thought, or it may not take long at all. You'll get a chance to find out in just a minute. Amen. Now remember this. 2 Timothy tells us that God breathed His Word. Amen. God breathed His Word. So He wants to breathe His Word into us. Okay? Not only wants to breathe His Word into us, He wants us to breathe it out to others. Think about it. God breathed His Word. God wants to breathe His Word into us. He wants us to breathe His Word out to others. So, here we are, step 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. Let me get this thing right. Here we go. Conscious contact with God. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power, somebody say power, to carry it out. So here we go. Get ready. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We want the Spirit to be moving strong in this place today. So here we go. Step 11, conscious contact with God. Have you ever been sitting in a living room beside your wife and your kids and they say, "We don't talk anymore"? But you sit there night after night watching television. Or your spouse say, "You don't spend any time with them," but you're sitting right there with them watching TV. The difference is, y'all sitting there watching TV, not even talking to each other. Y'all just sitting there. You don't have a conscious contact with your spouse. You don't have a conscious contact with your children. And we can come to church. You can be in here today and be here every Sunday and still not have a conscious contact with God. That's the saddest part. You're here. Somebody else is out, never shows up. But they may have more conscious contact with God than you do. So something we got to think about. Something we got to do. See, people feel bad about what they've done, but God not only commutes your sentence, He wants to communicate with you. He not only takes away the death penalty, He wants to talk to you. He wants to have you as part of the family. Amen? This is not just a recovery principle that we're talking about. It's a discipleship principle. So now, get ready. Freedom or recovery is not just breaking chains. How many, when you hear about the 12-step program, all you're going to think about is somebody breaking those chains? If that's all you're thinking about, the 12-step program, is this a way to break chains? You've missed the whole thing. Amen? So, breaking or recovery actually is building a relationship. You see, God wants more than parole with us. He wants His presence to be with us. and our presence to be with Him. He wants us to consciously talk to Him on a daily basis. We're talking about faith. Y'all are missing on Tuesday night. We've been doing some awesome, awesome Bible studies. Awesome! And last week was on faith. And we talked about what you do every day to distribute and to show your faith to God. And there was all grades of good answers. I read His Word, I testify, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it was, they were all great. There was no wrong answers. But mine was, I want to have a conscious contact with God. As I walk through the day, I want to talk to Him. I want to be so close to Him that He can tell me if I'm doing something wrong or doing something right. I want to be able to say, like Mike Maverick, talk to me, Goose. I want to be able to say, talk to me, Holy Spirit. Show me. Direct me. Either I'm not feeling good today and I just want to quit, or I'm getting ready to step in a trap. Show me. Show me who I need to help today. Some person I help may be very much needed, another person not needed. Help me know which way to go. Show me. So it's very important. This is just not a recovery thing. This is discipleship. So watch. The heart of step 11 is intimacy. Get ready. God just don't want to fix you. God does not just want to fix you. We all need fixing. But if He don't do the rest of it, He's going to constantly be fixing you. He wants to talk with us. And He wants to talk with us. And He wants us to hear His voice. He wants us to feel His presence. He wants us to live in His love. Because if we don't, we'll get so consumed with self that we miss the whole picture. You see, God don't practice catch and release. God wants to catch you and hold on to you. So now, there it is. In Christ, I'm a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Every Christian is called to grow in prayer. Every one of us. Every one of us are called to listen to His voice, to walk in His will. I don't hear His voice. Start out by reading His Word. That's why He says, don't let His Word go out of your mouth day or night. Then you'll know which way to go. That's what He says. Told Joshua, don't let your Word go out of my mouth, my Word go out of your mouth day and night, so that you know how to walk, you know how to present yourself, you know how to get it going. So we walk in His will. And we all need daily intimacy with God. Whether we're recovering from addictions, whether it's grief, whether it's anger, or simply just the weight of life, step 11 is an invitation to a deeper, deeper life. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. I was watching a show. I think it was just a show on public TV. It may have been that show where the guy goes all over Europe. I think it was. And he goes. And he goes to where the shepherds were. And there was a communal corral. And they had a bunch of different shepherds that had their sheep all there put together. And again, he said, you know how to get out their sheep? And the shepherd would go to the corral, and he'd make that familiar voice with his, make that familiar sound with his voice, and his sheep would pick up their head. The other sheep kept their head down, and they would follow him out. The next shepherd would go up. He would make that familiar voice with his mouth. They would drop. I mean, the other ones would keep on dropping, but they'd pick their head up, and they would follow him out. So now, God's called us to prayer and meditation. He said, I'm going to get ready to tell you what these all are now. Get ready. This is probably the heaviest so far of what we've done. Each time gets heavier and heavier. All right. Step 11 says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. So listen carefully. Prayer is you speaking to God. That's prayer. Meditation is you sitting down listening to God talk back. I pray, and if I go to just throw up a prayer, that's good, but if I really want to talk to God while I pray, I stop and I listen. Because God can direct you in so many ways. Now, constant contact means I'm living and aware of His presence. And in the everyday moments of life, I'm listening to God. And I know that He is with me. So again, here's meditation. Psalm 46 and 10. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still. Stop what you're doing. Let go of it. And let God talk to you. Let Him talk. Just let Him talk. Listen. And as you do this more and more and more, you'll hear Him more and more and more. What I do is I practice breathing. When I'm talking to God, I will breathe in five. I will hold it up. And with my nose, I'll count to five. And I push it out through my mouth for five and keep on going. And I clear my mind. It gets my blood pressure down. It gets my pulse down. And I start talking to God. And now that I've got all my anxious self down, I can hear from Him. Be still. Let go of what you're holding on to so hard and know that I'm God. Conscious contact is meditating on His Word day and night. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without seeking. It's time. I just heard today, I was listening to Fox this morning, and I heard today that in a national survey, for the first time ever, young people going to church outnumbers the older people. That the children are passing their parents. Used to be the parents would put them in, either take them or push them on, but now the older people, they're kind of giving in and out, but the younger people realize that all this stuff around here is not working. None of it's working. You got to be in the house of God. You got to be here. Nothing substitutes being in the house of God. Nothing. So, conscious contact. Let's move beyond casual Sunday morning only, and let's have a moment by moment awareness of God's presence continually. Wow. I've never had that happen, but some of y'all in here have. Have y'all ever had this happen? Put your hand up. Okay, y'all see those hands? They know what that's about. You maggot! Guess what? God's not a drill sergeant. Amen. Listen. Prayer and meditation. Listen carefully. Why this matters to the church. Well, hold on just a minute. Let me just stop right here. Prayer and meditation are not extras. You know, when you buy a car, you look for the extras. You look on the dash and you see nothing lighting up, nothing doing anything, but you notice when a certain light hits a certain way, you notice there's other things up there, but you didn't buy that option, so it's not going to pop up and show you that. But it was there, but it's not because you chose not to have that option. But when it comes to prayer and meditation, this is the lifeline of your Christian walk. If you don't do prayer and meditation, without it, you'll just go adrift. You just drift along and drift along and drift along. And you say, well, I've been praying. Okay. But have you been meditating? God's not a drill sergeant. He's not going to beat you up. He wants to lift you up. You see, think of prayer as the breath of the soul. You can survive without food or water, but you can't survive without breath. How many remember Ever see those astronauts get out and walk? They get out and walk in space. Anybody see that? They're working on the space station or they're doing whatever. You know, there's something they all have in common. If you'll look, they're all tethered. They're tethered to the spaceship. Why are they tethered to the spaceship? Because if they weren't tethered, that's their lifeline. If they weren't tethered to the ship, although they were going and doing their stuff, all it takes is just hitting the wrong way, because there's nothing going to stop you. You hit the wrong way, and you may go out into space and go out into a void and just drift into that void. Prayer and meditation is the same way. Without them, we're just going to drift into, listen carefully, without being tethered to God through prayer and meditation, we will drift, listen carefully, into the emptiness of self-will. But as long as we stay anchored to the source, John said in John 15:15, this is our tether, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you shall bear much fruit. So step 11 is about staying tethered. So here it is. Why does this matter to the whole church? Because this is not just a recovery principle. Again, it's the discipleship principle. I can't say it enough. Without prayer, we drift. Without meditation, we miss God's whisper. Remember, he's not a drill sergeant. Sometimes God's speaking to us, and we're so busy, we can't hear him. Life is so loud. You're trying to get it, but everything around you is so loud. And if you could just find a place, that's why you need to get in your prayer closet. Of course, back then, the prayer closet was just picking up your outer garment and throwing it over your head so you couldn't be distracted by anything around you and couldn't hear all that was going on. Everything was muffled because you had to slow down. And after you prayed, meditate on God's word and let him whisper back. Without conscious contact, we live as if God's in the distance, when in all actuality, God is right here. Intimacy is not automatic. When you ask God to forgive your sins, once he takes away those sins, your salvation is automatic. Once he says you're saved, you're saved. But intimacy is not automatic. It must be sought, and once you seek it, you must improve it, and then you must practice it. So now, application in church life. Look, God doesn't just give us his grace. He gives us Jesus, the Lord of grace. I love that. So watch. Application to church life. Personal. Get you a daily prayer rhythm. Sometimes we just pray in the morning. Sometimes we pray at night when we lay down. I pray all the time, but especially when I'm getting ready to go in and minister to somebody, I pray. When I was an on-call chaplain at Pitt Memorial Hospital, all night long I'd be going to people all night long, all over the place. And on my stepping from wherever I was at to that wing and to that room, I was praying. I was saying, God, I don't know what I'm getting ready to step into, but you've already been there. I don't know what I'm getting ready to see, but you know what I'm getting ready to see. And I need you, God, to prepare them and to prepare me, because I only had like 5 or 10 seconds to read the room so I could talk to the people. Family, do the model prayer at home, or some call it the Lord's Prayer. Start doing the Lord's Prayer. Do it with your spouse. Do it with your children. I do it with the inmates. I do the Lord's Prayer. And ministry, pray before you do something for God. Pray about it and let God lead you. So watch this. Worship, in our worship, have space for silence and listening. We open up space to hear God's Spirit when he speaks, when we just get silent. I like to walk in the woods and just pray to him and let him talk back to me. It's awesome. You know, I used to ride down the road and I had that 40-watt graphic equalizer from Radio Shack. I had the best thing they make because that's where I worked. And I had 80-ounce Craig speakers in the back, and they were in these boxes, and they had guitar wrapped around, and they had muffled stuff in the side, so they would just blow your hair off. And I'd ride down the road listening to Kiss or Lynyrd Skynyrd, and it would, I'd get out, and I couldn't hear a word you said. But, man, I was rocking. And the car in front of me, and the car behind me, and the car on each side of me, they were rocking too. But you know what? You know what I do now? I ride down the road and turn everything off. Just off. And listen to God. Just turn it off. I got a nice radio, but many a time I just cut it off because I want to hear God speak to me. When the church practices step 11 together, it becomes a praying church. Acts 2 and 1, as they prayed, the Spirit came in and filled all the house where they were sitting, and they went out and won 3,000 souls. In Acts 16, and as they prayed, the place was shaken. Well, we become a praying church. We become a listening church. I want to hear God speak to what He wants for Edward Christian Church. Now, look. Yes, it's nice to take polls. Yes, it's nice to take inventory. Yes, but the biggest person to take inventory is God, what do you want? What do you want, God? Show me what you want. And a Spirit-led church. You know, God's Spirit still leads us. You know, there's a story I read this week about a lighthouse keeper. Years ago, a lighthouse keeper was given enough oil for 1 month. So he had a surplus, you know. So he used some of that oil for his family's lamp. He gave some of that oil to his neighbors. He gave some of that oil to travelers. And guess what? The oil ran out. And when the oil ran out, the ships crashed into the rocks because there was no light in the lighthouse. If you keep giving and giving and giving and giving and you don't stop and pray and meditate, you're going to be a lighthouse that's dark and you can't lead anybody to safety. You can't keep giving until you're empty and not let God fill it back up or you're doomed. Amen? You know, so prayer's that oil that keeps the light burning. So without it, we may look generous, we may look busy, but we fell in the main purpose, and that's let God's light shine through us. Matthew 5 and 14, we are what? The light of the world. Step 11 keeps the oil flowing. I talked with Doug yesterday, because Doug's a beekeeper. I actually think those guys are crazy. I think you're just as crazy as a guy flying an F-15 into combat. Because there's MiGs everywhere. But I had to read something about beekeepers, and I called him to verify, and he said it's true. Beekeepers say that the bees recognize the calm hum of their keeper. If the keeper's anxious or aggressive, the bees get agitated. But if he's smooth and doesn't show any threat and just hums, the bees calm right down. He can do whatever he's got to do. In the same way with constant prayer and medication. I had that cup I showed you before. It said, God made us brothers, Prozac made us friends. With constant prayer and meditation, our spirit hums with God's peace. Others sense it. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 promises that prayer brings the peace of God that passes all understanding. Look at that. He lifted me up out of the miry, the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Did God do that for you? He's done it for me multiple times. Here's your closing challenge. I didn't say we were closing. I said it's a closing challenge. Ready? We're going to, y'all need to pray and meditate. Ready? Step 11 is not about perfect prayers. It's about daily connection. You ain't got to say all the right words. You ain't got to have the these and the thous. Just, Lord, I need you. God, you got to show me, direct me, help me. When my boys were little, they didn't have to go and say, oh, Daddy, oh, thou most high. They said, Daddy, I need some help. Daddy, can you help me? Sometimes it's just, help! And Daddy be right there. You see, God is looking for that connection. Here it is. This week I challenge you. Get ready. I know you can do this. Spend 10 minutes each day in silence before God. You say, I ain't got 10 minutes. I guarantee every last one of us have drives through our day that are more than 10 minutes. Turn the radio off. Just talk to God and listen. Just listen. And when you pray, pray not for your will, but His. And then ask for the power to carry it out. Just like the astronaut's tether, like the beekeeper's hum, God is inviting us to live in a conscious contact with Him every day. You know, years ago, the way they would talk back and forth was with the telegraph. Y'all remember that? They still do it in some places. They do it on ships and they do it other places, submarines, Morse code. But this is a true story. In the 1800s, a company advertised for a telegraph operator, and dozens of men waited in a noisy office. They're in this office and the telegraph's just going ta 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 ta. And all these men are waiting inside this office. Suddenly one man stood up, walked into the manager's office, and came out with the job. The others were shocked. The manager explained, the telegraph has been tapping out the message. If you understand this, come in. The job is yours. Wow. God speaks to us every day in so many different ways. And we get so eat up in how it's going to be and what it's going to be and how we want it and shoulda, coulda, woulda, winna. One of the big ways I get called at the detention center is if a guy's gone to court expecting to be released and it went a whole lot worse than he was expecting, they call me and say, come talk to him. Because he's in bad shape right now because what he was expecting didn't happen. And he's a calm person to lead him back to God. How many people in your job need a calm person to lead them back to God? How many stressful situations are you in that you need? You see, Isaiah 30 and 21 says, your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Do not ask God to guide your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet. There's an amen or an ouchie. Move us, God! Show us! But just not until next Wednesday because I got something Monday and Tuesday. You remember me telling you, I'm going to tell it again right here. It's good. I was at Bath Church of God. It was my, I don't know, second or third Sunday, maybe fourth Sunday. And I had this awesome, awesome senior usher. Loved him. He had such a good sense of humor. Always cutting up. And one Sunday morning, he came up to me. As I was getting ready to preach, he said, hold up before you climb up there. I said, what? He pulled me to the side and said, this is my last Sunday. Matter of fact, this is my last service. I ain't going to be here anymore. I said, oh, man, you just joking again like you always do. He said, I ain't joking. And I said, well, what is it? He said, see that woman on the front row? And a black woman had come in. She was black. And said, she's here. I'm not going to be here. I said, it's because she's black. He said, no, 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 no. It's because she's a drug addict. And she sells them. Sells them. If she's going to be here, I'm not going to be here. I prayed for God to show me what to say. That afternoon, I called him and I said, you know what? You got a point there. Here's a lot. I got you a new job. He said, what's my new job? I said, I want you to sit on the front steps of the church. Every service. I can do that. I said, I want you to notice everybody coming in. He says, I can do that. And I said, if they don't look right, if they're not dressed right, if they're the wrong color, if they've got the wrong reputation, if they're not driving the right car, tell them to turn around and leave because we don't want them here. And he started stuttering. I said, well, that's what Jesus would do, isn't it? And he goes, no, Jesus would say, come on in, you're all welcome. And I said, well, who are you? He said, I got the picture. He came by that night. That woman got saved. Not only did she get saved and delivered, but she wound up being one of our missionaries all over the world. We sent her to Israel. We sent her to Jamaica. We sent her all kinds of places. And as far as I know, she's still going all over the world for God. We've been asking God to build a church. Don't ask God to guide your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet. He'd been praying that prayer, but he didn't want to move his feet because he had already prejudged her. So, get ready. This is it. Now I am closing. Here's step 11 in action. Psalm 46 and 10. Be still and know that I am God. Stillness is not wasted time. Turn that radio off and ride down the road. It's not wasted time. It's sacred time. Oh, you may not audibly hear him, but I promise you, something's going to happen to you. A lot of times we come home and turn on the television, or we turn on the radio and we get in a car just to have noise to drown out the shouting in our head and the experiences that we just went through and the stuff that's aggravating us, when we could really just get in that car instead of turn on that radio, go, wow, God, I weren't expecting that, but you knew it was coming. And I need you to talk to me. And ride down the road and let him talk to you. It's where we hear his voice most clearly. Now, we're going to pray this together. And then we're getting ready to close. We're going to pray this together. Stay with me. Ready? Let's pray it together out loud with me. Lord, we seek you. Teach us to pray. Teach us to listen. Teach us to walk in your will. Fill in our cracks with your glory. Keep us tethered to your presence. Tune out our heart, or tune our hearts to your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow, what a prayer. You see, some say, I don't know how to pray. I hear it all the time. I don't know how to pray, preacher. I just don't know how to pray. Or they say, well, I try to pray, but I get distracted. And I can't keep up with what's going on. I lose my train of thought. Let me encourage you. Listen carefully. God's not grading you on how eloquent your prayer is. He's not grading you. Just for you to pick up the phone to talk to God, he gets excited. Don't you know certain people, when they call, you see their name, you get excited? Because you know it's going to be good news. Or you know they're going to listen to you, or you're hurting and you need somebody to talk to you. You know there's one person that'll listen to you, so you go to that person, they're going to give you good advice. You know, I had somebody the other day. I was in a hurry, I mean a big hurry. And they said, hey man, I need some advice. And I said, okay, but I got to hurry, so I'm going to have to text. I can't stop and talk to you. I got to text it. And they said, okay. And I said, I might not be able to answer when you're expecting, so hold on. I said, okay. And then they started telling about all the diseases they had, and they said, I need some counseling. And so I wrote back and said, what lies are your diseases telling you? And they got mad and said, never mind. I said, excuse me? They said, I'm really sick. It's not a lie. I said, you're not even reading the text. I said, you're really sick, yes. I'm talking, what lies are the diseases telling you? That you can't get up, you need to get down, you can't do this, whatever. You know, what's the lie? The trauma's telling you. What's the lie that the pain is telling you? What is the lie? And they said, I'll just talk to you later. I'm not God, but as an example of us praying, I am not God, please. They asked me a question, and I gave them a real answer, a real question back. But they weren't listening to my answer. And got offended and quit talking. Later on, I told them, I said, what lies are they telling? It's just telling you can't get out of the house, you can't blah, blah, blah. And they go, oh, yeah. How many times have we talked to God? And he does start talking back, and we go, that's not what I wanted to hear, and you hang up. I'm hanging up, God. God, if you don't tell me what I want to hear in 5 seconds, I'm hanging up. That's not how it works. You don't give God your plans and tell him to bless it. You ask God to bless your, to give you his plans and bless it. See, step 11 is not God grading your performance, because he delights in your presence. It's about your presence, not your performance. It's also about consistency, not perfection. God wants you to talk to him because he's desiring to talk back. Everybody that's staying. DC, come here and play something, please. How many times have you did not realize what God was putting before you? He was giving you so much stuff. He was doing so many good things for you, but you didn't realize it, or really you got kind of spoiled by it, and you didn't realize it until it was all gone. And sometimes that's too late. Take advantage of talking to God and thanking him for what he does for us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God wants to minister to us in a very powerful, powerful way. He don't need you to tell him what your plans are and what you're going to do and ask him to bless it. He needs you to ask him, show me what you want me to do. George Washington, back in the Revolutionary War, one day there was these revolutionary soldiers. And there was a log had fallen over the path. And so there was two or three privates, and they were trying to move that log, but they needed one more person. But the corporal, all he kept saying is, move it, move it, move it, move it. And they said, we got to need another hand. And he said, but I'm a corporal. Keep moving it, moving it, moving it. And all of a sudden, this big old dude come by wearing a cloak, and he says, what's the problem here, corporal? He says, these guys, they're slowly moving this log out of my way, out of the way of all of us. And he said, but there's not enough people there. He said, yeah, but I'm a corporal. I'm not supposed to be down there. He said, I'll gladly help. And he threw away his cloak. And it was General George Washington. And he climbed in the hole and he helped move that big log. And he looked over at those men and said, next time you get caught like that, you call me. I'll come and help you. And the corporal didn't know what to say. God's got this, but we got to trust Him. If you're here today and you're really, really, really needing to hear and connect with Him, I challenge you to read His Word. Let it stay in your heart, not just on Sunday, all week long. Get the Word in your heart. Meditate on it. It means to mutter it under your mouth, under your breath. Meditate on it. Let it be a constant source in you. And watch how your life will change. If there's somebody here today that would say, I need God's guidance, really, really, really need His guidance, I need His understanding, but I haven't really meditated and put His Word in me, in my mind, in my heart. But I want to, and help me from here on out to do that. Nobody looking around, raise that hand. I really got to start meditating. I really got to start meditating on His Word. Because it says, then He will move you forward. Move you forward and help you make the right decisions. Move you forward and make the right decisions. That's all we need. God, move us forward and help us make the right decisions. Get Your Word in my heart and watch what I'll do. Right now, we're going to pray all together. Ready? Lord, I love You. I praise Your name. I thank You for Your grace and for Your mercy. I ask You, Lord, to help me to be the best I can be for You. Help me, Lord, learn how to meditate and be strong in You. I want to move forward. And I want to be able to make the right decisions. I can't do it without Your Word. Help me to help myself. And I thank You for it. I rededicate my life and my ministry to You right now. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. We got one more. Next week will be step number 12. Let me ask you a question. Hadn't this been awesome? And if you think of it as the regular just old 12-step, wow, just the 12-step program, you go, now that's just for a bunch of people that, look, I've even had them say it's for a bunch of losers. No, it's not for a bunch of losers. It's a bunch of people who want to get their act together and they want help. But we've done it in depth. In depth, in depth. That's what I do with those guys. In depth, in depth, in depth. Because we need more than a drive-by. We need in depth. God's got us. Amen? Now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, Brother Wayne, will you dismiss us in prayer? Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.